It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Check this out. Podcast? Dutch podcast.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
And then podcast again. There had to be some Dutch filmmaker who really liked that angle. Like, I really hope it's something like that while they call it a Dutch angle. And I hope it's just not like why they call it Dutch courage. I hope it's not like something like, yeah, people were always like, the Dutch can't even frame a shot correctly. Like, I don't know the history of the term Dutch angle, but
I guess I don't
it
either.
It does make me nervous.
Because you're afraid you're being a little bit racist and you don't even know it?
There's a lot of that these days. I actually watched something recently. There's a show on NBC/Peacock called St. Denis Medical, and it's The Office, but in a hospital. Okay. But it has a lot of characters. It's not a good show. I do not recommend it to anybody, but I do watch it when I'm just like, I need... It's TV chicken nuggets. Like, it's... to me, it's kind of funny. It has, once again, it has David Alan Greer in a real role, which I love. I think he's great, and I don't think he gets enough work, especially these days. So it's fun, but like, if it disappeared tomorrow, I wouldn't even think about it again. But they had a thing in that one. I think it was somebody came up with, you had to fill out forms if you were going to have a sexual relationship with a coworker, which is a normal thing. And so one of the guys who hated the idea got this idea that they could all fill out forms for just anybody they ever might hook up with. And then they're just covered just in case.
Sure.
And so he's handed out, and he's just like, anybody you think ever might, just write it on here. You don't have to show it, and just hand it in. And one of the people was looking at it, and she's like, this feels like sexual harassment, but I can't explain why. And I was like, yeah, I get a lot of that where I'm just like, well, and Trish and I find so many, like, there's a lot of phrases that you're like, oh shit, I don't know the origin of this, so it's probably something racist. And some of them that you really would think they are, but they're not. And ones that, like, people get offended by, and it turns out it's not. The real great one we have is, there was a lot of debate for a while over whether heebie-jeebies was a thing, because was a very common Jewish slur for a while back in the day. I don't think it gets used as much now, but I don't hang out with a lot of people who do Jewish slurs, so I don't know. But so then people thought that, and it turns out, yeah, they are unrelated, but a lot of people think it. A classic one is, remember, I don't know if you ever heard this, rule of thumb.
Yeah, there was this idea that it had to do with how thick a rod could be for you to beat your wife or something like that.
Beat your wife, I believe. Yeah. And so people are like, oh, you can. And it's like, no, that's not a thing. Listener Stu, one time, he and I were talking back when we worked together over chat, and he said something about many moons ago. And I'm like, like, where does that come from? It feels like it, like, I only think of it as, like, a line that, I mean, nowadays people use it all over, but when I think of my history with it, I only think of it as a line that poorly crafted, stereotypical indigenous American characters say. But I don't know. And, like, many, many, many cultures used the moon cycle to track time.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
So I never know. So I have opted not to use that one anymore, but I'm like, I don't actually know. So, like, I never get mad at anybody, but I did mention it when I mentioned to Stu. He's like, I never even thought of that. Oh my God. And I was like, whoa, I don't know that it is. I'm just saying It might be. It's one of those.
Although I think
we just
I don't need
to say it. It's
I think in our culture, if we were saying something like that and it applied to stereotypical portrayals of Native people in our culture, it would be like many winters ago or something like that.
There is also that. Yeah.
That seems to be. Although again, lots of cultures have measured things by moons, winters, whatever. That's not unique
and
to
it,
Native Americans.
It, I don't know if this is a thing, but like. Sometimes words that had sort of offensive connotation just because, like, if the origin gets so old that there's nobody left to be offended, is that a thing? But I'm certainly not the one to make that call.
No. Well, this is this has come up on the podcast before because, like,
I do say a lot of racist shit on here.
No. Like one time I was saying something about someone being gypped, right? And
someone
said, "Oh, that comes from gypsies. You know, you know, that's a slur against gypsy." Well, I never knew that until someone said.
Well, and the word gypsy is a slur.
Right. Although
that gets really commonly used.
Yes.
Often by fucking white people.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we had to address that even on the podcast once. So.
Yeah. Sorry to all the Romanis that listen.
That's what we said back then.
Did we? Well, we're still sorry.
I try and
get him to stop saying the slur, but he just does it.
We apologize to the Romani people back then. I did. You kind of made fun of me for apologizing to them, but now you just did it. So
Yeah. Now you're in a more racist phase and I'm in a less racist phase.
No, I mean, I just didn't know. I mean, I've never said it again. I can assure you of that, but it's like, yeah, I didn't know.
This was not remotely what I wanted for the open. But I feel like it matches nicely because I was going to say, so I, not to brag, watch a lot of YouTube. And I watch a lot of YouTubers, like commentary YouTube and people who sort of talk more about process. And lately with the TikTok ban, unbanned, but that was a stopgap, so we have no idea what the future of TikTok will be or whatever. I've seen some videos on like how TikTok works versus YouTube and how the two, like certain creators use them both, and it's interesting. But anyway, so over time I have learned accidentally, sort of through osmosis, what the commonly accepted basic practices are for having a successful YouTube channel and online presence to grow your listener base and things like this.
Oh.
Obviously, I didn't know this before, like when we set this up and everything, because nobody knew at that time or whatever, or at least the rules were different. I think almost in pretty much across the board, what we're doing, and to a greater extent what I'm doing, because I do the processing and putting up or whatever, is the exact opposite of exactly everything you're supposed to do. Like how we record it, how I process it, how it's posted, the thumbnails, the titles, just everything is the exact opposite of what will get more people interested. So I tried for a little while to care and I didn't. So here we are. Peter's Donuts. Hello everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Podcast, the only podcast that only wants you to listen/watch if the content matters to you, not because of tricks, not because of carefully crafted thumbnails. No, all we want is a picture, a grainy ass picture of a webcam shot of whichever one of us laughs first in the episode. That's what I'm starting to think the thumbnail is determined by.
Nice.
Because it's always a shot of one of us going, and it's usually you. Which makes sense because I start the open and I make you laugh.
Right.
But every once in a while, it's me. And I'm like, oh, he said something. Then he got me first. So I think it's just whichever of us like grins first. I don't know how it decided this. Because we're both here when it starts. And usually the thumbnail is you. Sometimes it is me. Don't know how it decided.
Like one of these
days. We're almost always grinning or laughing.
Yeah. One of these days, right after you press record. You know, you can cue us to say, okay, thumbnail grin, and we'll just go for a few seconds, and then we'll see
shit.
What happens.
Oh, God. If we can remember that, we're doing that next episode. I like that idea a lot. let's we need to do that. Yeah, well, so I'm Tony.
I'm William, and this is episode 725.
I wonder if it looks like I'm pointing at you on the actual thing. Because we've talked about I mirror my video, but it doesn't seem mirrored to you.
But doesn't it doesn't it display with showing you just one person at a time right now?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I've set it up for gallery view. For whatever reason, the capture record only does whoever's talking.
Mm.
I don't know why.
Yeah, what I see, you're on top.
Oh, so you're seeing up and down. I'm seeing left to right.
Oh, okay.
So I'm pointing at you?
Yeah.
See, for me, now I'm pointing at you.
Oh. Well, it's been that way for me in the past. I don't know when it started being like this.
This is always like this. You're always on that side. We don't understand how any of this works, which is amazing because we are coming up on 14 years of having done this.
Yeah,
of 14 which at years. At least five or six of them have been on this.
Yeah.
Or I guess five, because I guess is a COVID thing.
COVID thing. When this kicked in.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know what the hell we're doing. But here we are. We have a hat.
Yep.
You don't get to see it. But it's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people who need people are the luckiest people to write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat.com. No. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Yes. With whatever the crap they want. Comments, topics, questions, stupid memes, whatever. The hat magically, when it feels like it, forwards us the emails, makes us read them, and that's what we do. But y'all know that's not mostly what happens anymore. But it should, because we do have some emails now, and I'd like to, but it has been 2 weeks. We've had I was going to say Christmas and New Year's happened. But it has been a while. And so
we used to draw things out of the hat. And if you go to this, if you're at YouTube watching, you can find videos. Can't they? Can they find videos of us at the library doing the show?
The oldest videos on this channel.
Yeah.
You actually can see the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Because we felt when we did the 100th episode, we filmed it in a meeting room in the library, or we recorded it in a meeting room in the library with the producer and Beth and Mark McKibben.
Oh, but we also had a series, though. It was just you and me, remember? Yes,
but that's what I was going to say. But we took the opportunity because we had reserved it. So you and I either came in early or stayed late and did, I think, 10 different questions.
Yeah, shorts, little short things.
Via that method. So you can see him and me with long hair and William, I don't know. I'm sure wearing a hat.
Glasses. I think I had glasses on because you.
Oh, I think you did have glasses.
Couldn't remember that. I thought they turned out pretty good, by the way. I watch them sometimes.
I liked them.
I thought they're pretty good. anyway.
So it has been just 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think so, because you were out and about and had your birthday.
I was. Wisconsin.
Yeah. You want to talk about it? I'm eager to hear everything about it.
There's not a ton to talk because it was the birthday trip, which means we just sat around and didn't do much, which was nice. We went to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is a place I'd never been, but I surprisingly know a lot of people who lived there or were from there. And in fact, one of the listeners lived there for quite a while, and we actually got together yesterday for lunch. And so we were doing here's where we stayed, here's where we used to live, that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And we stayed in a place that is as near as I can tell from both the experience of the place and the Vrbo reviews and stuff, has been a rental place for guests since about November only. Hmm. And clearly was and probably continues to be also an event space.
Oh.
Yeah. So the place had an enormous kitchen, so big it had two full-size fridges and two full-size washing machines or dishwashers.
What, right.
and then a really huge dining room, and then little room off the side, and then you go into this enormous, not circular, but like octagonal room or something. It's just huge room. And that's where the TV was and so many different seating areas and stuff. So that's just where we hung out all the time. And then off the kitchen are some stairs up that's just three bedrooms and a bathroom. So like it was clearly used mo and there was actually a thing off the side that was called like the main studio or something that was locked. We couldn't get into it, which is fine because we didn't need no studios. So it was a weird setup, but I really like I would not want to live there. But this is one of the first ones where I told them, I'm like, I would come back specifically here to stay in this place. Other than that, we went to three places. Well, I guess four if you count Hy-Vee to go shopping. But we went to three places to go to them. One was actually, so Stephanie wanted to do a thing for her birthday, and we went to the Paint Shack, which was kind of like, it's kind of like Fired Up in Iowa City, but instead of pottery, it's just canvases. So like you can paint things, and in the case of Trisha and Stephanie, they did elaborate things where they painted the thing. And then they stuck glass pieces to it, and then the whole thing got soaked in resin. And so it's really shiny and cool looking. They're gorgeous. I did what I always do in these sort of paint your own canvas kind of places. I just sort of went with it and did my own thing. To my shock, it looks like something. I did a real long, narrow one canvas. I think it was like 10 by 30, and I did a line of beach, so like a squiggly line, and this was ocean and this was sand, and I put in things, and it looks like what it is, which is surprising to me. But
You don't.
I well, not always. Over the years, I have learned that I don't do that for the finished product. I do it for the experience. So,
Right.
but theirs came
Are,
out real amazing.
so do you have you is painting a thing that you've ever been much into or?
No, painting like drawing is one of those things that seems cool, but it's as with almost everything, you're not good at it to start. And that's when it becomes a thing. Do you enjoy this enough that you want to keep doing it even though you're not good at it yet? And if that's a thing, you've probably found a hobby. And so I have attempted to make painting and drawing, especially drawing. I like checked out books from the library and stuff on a few times. And no, it's not my jam. Don't know what it is. But I do it every once in a while, it's fine. Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed. It doesn't gross me out or anything, but I'm not good at it and I don't try to work to get better, so it's fine.
Right.
But and then we went to two restaurants. One the Milwaukee Burger. How did I lose the last name? I keep wanting to go Milwaukee Burger Experience, but that's definitely not what it was called. I love that. I might open up that business
Milwaukee Burger Experience.
featuring Mo. The company, I think it was company. I think it's Milwaukee Burger Company. I think that's what it's called. And I think it's probably a chain. And it's fine. It's some good burgers. But the big thing, and the reason we ended up going there, they have all the fried cheese curds. And in fact, we got a fried cheese curd sampler, which has four different kinds.
Is it different kinds of cheeses or are they spice it
Well,
different or what hasn't worked?
let me tell you.
Okay.
The first are what I think of standard, very clearly made in-house cheese curds, which are the best thing in the world. Hudson
Breaded or
Street has
battered?
it battered,
Okay.
but fresh, like very clearly not. They were battered in-house and all that, and we love those. And then they had three that were much more sort of constructed. They were all sort of big cube-shaped things, and one was just mozzarella, so it was just like a mozzarella stick in a square shape. One was pepper jack, and one was what they called the cheese bomb, which was a beer batter, and then inside, I don't know, it was something orange. And to me, it could have been American cheese. I don't know. It was very generic orange cheese, but super tasty. And we got that and really liked it. And then the night before we left, I decided I wanted it again. So I called up and got a to-go order. And that's when I discovered I eat a lot of things cold and I'm fine with it. Cold beer batter gross.
Oh.
Hot beer batter, good. Cold other batter, usually fine. Cold beer batter, not so much.
Huh.
So that was a learn a lesson, but but had a fun time, hung out. Oh, also we went, the other place is the Altoona Family Restaurant. We were in Eau Claire, but we were right on the border of where Altoona is. Altoona Family Restaurant, just a standard family diner kind of thing, all day breakfast, but really good. We went there twice, and Trish and I tried to go there a third time when we were leaving, but at 10:30 on a Saturday, a place like that, very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and saw the crowds of people waiting to get a seat and said, well, go away. But that was it. I also played video games. I bought some video games specifically for the Switch to take there because I knew I wasn't going to take the Xbox. So I played some more Hades. Hades is a good game. And I really enjoy it. And it's very, the evolution of the various interactions with the character, with the NPCs and stuff is very cool. And in fact, at a certain point, you get sort of like a journal that, you know, it's very common in a lot of video games where it like talks about the different characters and the different, it's a codex essentially.
Right.
But this one is interesting in that you have information and more information propagates after you've talked. So it'll say like, you need to have this many more conversations with this person before more information appears. And oh. So the story like evolves and stuff, but it's a pretty decent sort of roguelike fight. The combat is, I'm not hard. I'm not great at it, but it's a very sort of fast paced, but not in a way that is I find especially difficult. It's challenging. I've probably died a dozen times, and I just finally made it to what is like sort of the first boss and got my ass handed to me immediately. So it's kind of fun. I didn't play that one as much. To my surprise, so okay, I have this problem sometimes. I watch YouTubers play a game online as a live stream, mm-hmm. and it looks really fun. So I'm like, I want to play that game. It looks really fun. It's not. What it is it's fun to play games with your friends.
Yeah.
And that's why it looks like fun, because they're all playing together. And playing it alone, very sad. But I watched some old live streams that I had enjoyed from, like, during the pandemic. And it got me. And so I bought Mario Golf for the Switch.
Mm.
Surprisingly fun. I did play. Trish played with me one time. But I've played quite a bit on my own. It's fun. It's really got that balance between like an actual golf game and cartoony nonsense.
Oh, okay.
So like I feel like I'm learning and getting better, but I never feel like it's hard or too complicated.
Right.
So it's just kind of fun. And there's lots of things to unlock, and there's a ton of different characters and lots of just goofy shit that, you know, screws with the golf game, but I don't know. I just enjoy it. And it goes, especially I'm playing on my own, it goes surprisingly fast. I can cut through 18 holes on a golf course in like 15, 20 minutes.
So when you say surprisingly, you mean that you don't typically enjoy golf games?
I don't typically play golf games. Oh. I hate the concept of golf.
Oh, okay.
And I never intend to play golf in real life. And I don't really think anybody should for a variety of reasons.
I don't think anybody should.
And I also don't play Mario sports. I don't play sports games in general. I don't play.
No, yeah, I guess.
In specific.
That, yeah, that tracks.
Oh, we did play Mario Party one night. That was fun. And we played board games and stuff a lot because that's a thing we do. But the third game, and I do want to talk about this one in a minute. I'd heard about this a while ago and it looked cool. And I was like, maybe someday I'll get it. And then I got it. Great story. Dave the Diver.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it was one of those like indie games that just like blew up and everybody was super into it.
I heard about it from you. Now that I think about it, I think you mentioned it like that's when you got. Yeah, how was it?
Really good. Really, really good. I have this thing where when I travel and I'm playing on like a portable system or whatever, I get really into a game and then I come home and I never play it again. I hope that's not what happens with this. because I really like it. It's a pixel art sort of game in which a dude who kind of looks like me, like he's a big fat guy, and he has what a lot of people call a goatee, but is more accurately described as a Van Dyke. So a goatee, but then a mustache that's connected. Mm-hmm. He also, when he's not in his diving suit, wears a fedora. Don't love that, but there it is. And he's a professional diver. And every element of the story is basically him getting taken advantage of and tricked by other people. Like, he's a very, like, put upon sad sack kind of guy. He's like, oh, you need to help me with this. Do I? Yeah, to do. Oh, now you have to do that. Why do I have to do it? Because I said that. Anyway. And it's part of the joke is like, he's just like, but shouldn't that be your thing? No, no, you handle it. And that. But the basics are you're a diver. You go down in the water and you catch fish. And you can harvest other things or whatever. And then you come back and you can do that twice a day. And then at the end of the day, you go to the sushi restaurant and you manage the sushi restaurant that is now serving all the sushi made from the stuff you caught.
Yeah, that's what you told me last time. That you manage
the sushi restaurant.
Yeah.
And then that's the gameplay loop. They incorporate all sorts of things. You have a smartphone and you're always meeting new people and they have an app. So, like, there's a guy that handles weapons. So, like, you upgrade your harpoon and you can get other... Because some things you can't just spearfish. Some things are huge and will kill you and you got to shoot them. Oh. And so he will make those kind of weapons. There's an ecology student who has you do some things and eventually you get this app where if you pick up certain things and ship them off to a university, you get points and you get prizes. And there's a weird Pokemon-esque thing where every fish you catch, you get a little card. And there's a service that you can upgrade all your things over time. Your suit, your oxygen tanks, your spear gun, all that kind of stuff. And then there's just a lot of plot elements throughout. There's storylines going on. So, like, there's one storyline involving me sort of slowly befriending these dolphins because I keep showing up and one of them's always caught in a net or about to be poached or something, so I always got to save them, so we're buds now. There's arguably the biggest quest line involves an undersea civilization that we're slowly, originally we were finding artifacts from it, and now we're learning that maybe it still exists and well, stuff like that.
That's interesting.
And it's fun, and every once in a while it gets fun. And then there's lots of little things, like you're actually trying to build your online social media presence because that makes the restaurant more popular, and people come in and like want to judge the chef, but he wants to make a special thing. So often you have like this many days to go find certain ingredients that are harder to find. Certain festivals happen. And so you want to serve certain dishes there for more money. And it's just, yeah, it's fun and it's just challenging enough, but it's not too rough. And it's also one of those where in the grand scheme of things, it's not timed. So you'll have, like, there's a festival coming. You have 3 days to catch as much jellyfish as you can because it's a jellyfish festival. We got to make a lot of jellyfish sushi because they'll pay a lot. If you fuck it up and don't get no jellyfish, it just means you didn't make a bunch of money. But that's it. And otherwise, things, they're like, oh, your next quest is to go find this. And if it takes you 1,000 days, it's fine. The story won't change. So, yeah, and it introduces the mechanics fairly slowly, and yeah, I dig it. It's fun. Recommend. And I think it's on basically every platform. So you also check that out. Oh, and we saw 2 movies.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a bunch of movies. I've been watching a lot of trashy movies again, but not. I'm listening to the Borrowing Blockbusters guy and watching a lot of knockoffs of things, and they're terrible and not worth talking about, but sometimes really fun. But we watched 2 movies. One was Jurassic Park. Both my wife and my sister-in-law never saw Jurassic Park. And I was like, we should watch that because Jurassic Park's good. Every other Jurassic Park movie that, in fairness, I've not seen any of the other ones are terrible. I have it on good authority. But the first one, as I remember it, hadn't seen it in a while. Good. You've seen Jurassic Park.
Yes.
All good-hearted humans have seen Jurassic Park.
And also
I saw it. I didn't name you by mention you by name. There we go. I saw it in the theater, and I was
too. Yeah, I think I did.
Tween
too.
To teen age. I think it was like 91, so it would have been like the year I started high school. Mm. And I remember being blown away, absolutely
yeah.
blown away.
Yeah, everybody kind of was.
And apparently, certain aspects of how they did the effects in that are not remotely cost effective. So even later stuff, there are certain ways in which that movie's dinosaur effects are better than anything that has come afterward. In certain ways. In other ways, not, obviously.
I mean, I think Jurassic Park will probably be remembered like the 1977 Star Wars was in many ways. Is like, this is a revolution. And people don't talk about it really so much, but at the time, the CGI and everything they were doing to make all those effects work were super revolutionary. And just about everything that after is like you said, either a step backwards from what they did, or it's an innovation of what they did. There's and Star Wars was the same way, right? Like, it did a whole bunch of stuff, and then people later were just doing what Star Wars did. But Jurassic Park was amazing.
It gets less discussed that way because although it was a jumping off point for special effects, unlike Star Wars and things, it wasn't a jumping off point narratively, because the concept of Jurassic Park is one of the dumbest things ever conceived.
Yeah, well,
the level of technology required and the idea that this is what they did with it is insane. So you don't see a lot of Jurassic Park knockoffs. You do occasionally, but not often, because it's like, why would you do that? And also, by the way, it's real expensive to do, because you got to have fucking dinosaurs.
You know, that's a good point. You're right. Star Wars had a lot of knockoffs, or people trying, like right away they tried to
There's an episode of Borrowing Blockbusters about this. There's an episode of Dark Corners about, like, the number of Star Wars knockoffs around the world that happened right then, let alone in the decades later.
But some huge. Sometimes not even knockoffs, but like older sci-fi IPs that never had successful films before, like Buck Rogers, for example. It's like but you're right, after Jurassic Park, the only things that spin off of Jurassic Park are more Jurassic Park movies, really.
And the occasional Mockbuster. And don't get me wrong, dinosaurs show up in movies, but they're like fucking puppets and shit.
Yeah, yes. And, you're right. That's interesting. Yeah. So that did probably help Star Wars be a phenomenon, was everyone was trying to copy it.
Everybody wanted to rip it up. Yeah. Borrowing Blockbusters ones are things like Jaws, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Conan the Barbarian, Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Alien and Aliens. There are Alien ripoffs and Aliens ripoffs, and they're different because those movies are different.
Yeah, very different.
Those are like the big ones. There were a shocking number of Die Hard clones in the 80s and 90s that I didn't know about. And weirdly, they all had the same three or four main actors. It was like Peter Weller, Michael Dudikoff, Eric Roberts, a few others, and they each were in like seven movies where they basically played John McClane. It's weird. But Jurassic Park holds the fuck up.
Yeah.
It is good. However, it also falls into that wonderful category that I love, which is movies from the 90s dealing with DNA. Because I loved those. Because in the 90s, we finally understood that DNA was a thing, but we really didn't know what the fuck we were doing about it. And so it's similar to movies about computers in the early 80s. It's like they existed, but we were still just imagining we could do magic with this.
Yeah, right.
And so, and Jurassic Park in particular, like, goes into detail, which highlights how much it doesn't make sense.
Right, right.
And so I have so much fun with that. The 90s really did not understand about genes. It is fun. but great cast, including some you don't remember in there, like Samuel L. Jackson's in that movie.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson. I
I
was
had
just
forgotten
thinking
he was in there.
of his character actually while you were talking.
And about seven times I had to be like, and that's where that comes from. Because there was like clever girl, you were so concerned with whether or not you could, you didn't think about whether or not you should. Like, there's so
Life
many.
finds a way.
Exactly. Like, there were so many of these. I'm like, and there's that. So that was fun to watch. But the other one, this you'll find this more interesting. I find this more interesting. We watched a movie from, I believe, 1947 called Lured.
Lured.
Lured. It is a British-made black and white film about, it's set in, I think it's set during World War II, so it's set a couple years earlier, maybe, but around the same time. And it is there is a serial killer, although we didn't call him back then, in London. And in particular, they are putting out personal ads to meet women, and then those women are getting murdered. And so the police end up using the assistance of a particularly perceptive and smart dance hall girl, an American who basically came over for something and got stuck with no money. So she works in dance halls now. And she basically goes undercover, answering personal ads, and like she's got people following her or whatever to see which one is the real one. And we very specifically put in a lot of famous creepy and bad guy actors at the time to play the different roles, the three. So like Boris Karloff is one of the people, and a bunch of other names that mean less to me but are in that sort of vein. And some of it's very comedic. Sometimes the personal ad, it turns out it was a misunderstanding or whatever. And other times you're like, oh, is this the bad guys? And the whole thing. What make the reason this I give a shit about this, and why you should give a shit about this, is the dance hall girl, the lead of the film, Lucille Ball. Pre I Love Lucy, Lucille Ball.
Oh yeah.
And she's amazing. In a way I've never experienced her before,
Because this is a
because
dramatic role?
I mean it's dramatic and comedic.
But
It
not
the
comedic in
movie
the I Love
definitely does
Lucy
both.
way. Yeah.
No, but that's what I mean. Like
Yeah.
in and I am no expert on Lucille Ball, so take this with a tumbler of salt. But it sort of seems like once I Love Lucy happened, Lucy was basically only ever Lucy Ricardo and things. And I don't mean that she didn't do other things, but like that was her deal. She was a very physical comedian, a lot of slapstick, a lot of which I don't. And she did great. Don't get like all kudos. It's not my thing. This was not that. This was like wit and stuff. And she's really good at it. And she's re her deliveries are amazing. And she was very compelling and was a good dramatic actress and a good comedic actress. There's a weird bit because she has a gun. They give her a gun. It's a little tiny one. And there's a weird bit where like things went crazy or whatever. And she and the undercover cop are in a cab. And he's like, by the way, here's your gun. She's like, thanks. Looks at it, puts it in her purse. By the way, here's yours. And it was like a giant 44 or something. And it's like, and the delivery is just perfect. There's tremendous chemistry. Trish and I are really going through this evolution now of you don't have this, which I didn't have to say that. Unless I mention you by name, it doesn't apply to you. But a lot of us have this sort of idea that old movies just weren't as, like, they didn't know how to act yet. But some of them they really did. There's some really compelling, nuanced, subtle, interesting, diverse performances and storylines out of people from early fucking black and white movies and even silent movies. And it can be really interesting. And I'm slowly starting to explore more of those. But this is amazing. I'm going to look for more pre I Love Lucy, Lucille Ball, because she was amazing. It was great. It was a wonderful time. It was a really fun movie. I highly recommend it. Lured.
No, I haven't seen that. I'll have to look it up.
I got it. The Dark Corners guy did a streaming review of it, is how I found out about it. So then,
Good.
yeah, we watched this, and then we came. And Trish had her first ever colonoscopy.
Is
So that
everything
was
okay?
fun.
Okay.
Not as great as mine. My ass is pristine.
Oh, well, that's
There
good
you
to
go.
know.
Nobody's concerned. So.
Good.
But yeah, that was the horrifying experience. I mean, it was interesting being on this side of it, but
Mean, I asked because that's a screening procedure, right? They're trying to make sure that there's not something terribly, terribly wrong. So it's good when you get results back
And
that say everything's
I
fine.
answer non-committally because nobody thinks there's anything wrong, but there are things that came out of there that are being biopsied, and we won't know about it for a while, so
Oh.
don't know yet. But nobody's expecting anything. We all think it's probably fine, so I think we're
I
good.
mean, okay, good.
I don't really got to clean the screen. I mean, it's been 2 weeks. Surely you did something interesting.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Really? You think in 2 weeks I, William, must have done something interesting? I mean,
A thing. A thing.
well, let's see. I'm trying to think of something we watched that might be interesting to talk about. But like, I've actually been avoiding movies. Like, Abby's like, "Oh, do you want to watch this?" Because there's movies that were in the theater that we didn't go see. That was like, okay, when it's streaming or whatever. And sometimes even if we'll
You
rent.
still haven't done Nosferatu.
No.
That's surprising to me.
It's surprising to me too now that you mention it. But like a lot of
It
times.
is available now to rent online, but it's at the like $20 stage, so
Yeah. And I
we
don't
haven't seen it yet.
it's
Don't know.
just I haven't for some reason, and it's out of the ordinary. In the evenings when we have time, there's nothing else going on. And when I normally might say, hey, let's watch something, I just haven't been up for it for some reason. I don't know if it's because work is sort of taking it out of me or something, and I
I
just
mean,
want to.
you're still at a point where you're probably still getting used to having a full-time job, so.
Well, and it's the kind of work too. I mean, spending a whole day, helping people cope with sometimes some pretty serious things. Right, a therapist or a doc, anyone who's in healthcare and has to deal with things like that, they need a little bit of a recovery from that if you're gonna not gonna get burnt out, which is fine. But I mean, I think sometimes, movies, especially depending on what the theme is or what's going on in them, it's like I just don't think I can deal with that today.
I mean, welcome to my whole life, but it's just
Yeah.
because I'm deeply emotionally oversensitive. Which reminds me, I just looked at my list and I do have more things to talk
Oh, good.
about.
Because I
It's
don't
all
really
shit
have
I've
a thing.
seen. But also I want to talk about a TV show I just stopped watching.
Oh, okay.
It's called The Rig.
We watched a few episodes of that.
Its second season just came out, and for reasons I was texting with my mom, and I mentioned Man on the Inside, the Ted Danson thing, because I thought she'd like that, and she's like, "Oh, I was just watching The Rig," and it was interesting because she said it's a sci-fi thing, and my sister and her husband liked it, and my brother and his wife did not. And my tastes are very much separate from there. The Venn diagram, there's not a huge ton of overlap. There is some, but not a ton. So I'm like, this makes me very curious as to how I'll feel.
Yeah.
And also, my mom doesn't recommend things too often, and so I figure I'd give it a shot. And so it's the story of an oil rig in the North Sea, and weird shit starts to happen. Spooky shit, fog, ash raining from the sky, people having visions. It's not tentacles yet, but it's the kind of thing where you're like, there's gonna be tentacles, I'm sure, at some point. That kind of thing. It actually, weirdly, there was a indie survival horror game called Still Wakes the Deep or something a while back that had basically the same premise, which I was like, that's funny. But I think it appeared between the two seasons. But anyway, so I look at the trailer and it super doesn't look like my thing. Because it's just, oh, there's a lot of mystery going on. What's happening? Oh, I don't know. But everybody's pissed off about it. And they're all yelling at each other. And they're all blaming each other for getting other people killed or for da da da. And I'm like, yeah, this looks terrible. This is. All right. You're a storyteller.
Thank you. That's a nice thing to say.
I didn't say you're a good storyteller, but
I know.
Technically, I have heard you tell a story.
I'm just happy to be on the list. I don't care if I'm at the bottom of it.
Willie Wright, just happy to be here in life.
Yep.
Happy
to be on the list.
So you would probably understand that most, if not all, stories kind of need conflict.
I mean, that's usually what makes them worth telling.
Yes.
Right.
And conflict can be so many things. I mean, we've all done man versus nature, man versus man, nature versus peanut butter, you know, whatever. And there are a lot of different things. And frequently in a supernatural thing, you're like, oh, freaky shit is happening and we don't understand. We have to deal with this. That's a great conflict.
Yeah, it works great for stories for thousands of years.
Yes. There is another very valid form of conflict that I feel is A, I don't like it. B, I don't consider it, it feels very lazy to me. Possibly because of C, I feel like when it comes to dramatic TV shows, 70% of all of them, this is the primary conflict. And the conflict I would describe as thus. Weird, freaky, mysterious shit is happening. So let's all just be as shitty to each other as possible about it. And this way, the conflict is constantly there because we're all being assholes and we can be really slow and minimal on the actual supernatural mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And this is that. The first episode I hated, and I checked with my sister. I was like, is this what it's going to be? Are we going to get some sort of and she claims, because there's a second season, which is also a bad sign. When there's weird supernatural mysteries and six episode seasons, and then there's another season, I'm like, so we didn't answer shit in the first season, did we? According to her, we did. We did resolve certain things. Whatever. I got three episodes in, and it's not a bad show, but it needs way... It's too little of the supernatural stuff, like, being explained or dealt with, and too much of people just fighting each other, and always in like stupid shitty ways. It's very much that same thing of like I talked before, where like a villain feels they have to do the right thing and it hurts them inside to do these terrible things, but it's for the greater good, but then they're like sneering villainous assholes about it. And this is a similar thing. We got people were like, oh, people might be possessed by weird alien shit or whatever. So we need to quarantine. And people are like, oh, you're so mean to me to think that. It's like, dude, you literally got a cut on your hand and alien shit went into there. So we are saying we're going to keep a close eye on you. It's not personal. So stop being so butthurt about it and stop filling up like an entire episode with how butthurt you are about it. It's not about you. We are not demeaning your character. We think you are a great person. We just also think you might have alien spores in you that are fucking you up. And we are concerned about that for you and for us. So stop being pissy.
I mean,
and nobody just says that. If somebody said that, maybe a better show.
And that's just one example of the character. So, yeah, my problem.
And it has, by the way, it has a stellar cast.
Yeah, great
it has
cast.
So many actors that I love. The female lead is an actress I love, and I have not seen nearly enough of her. I fell in love with her as one of those characters that bounces between being a villain and a hero in the 12 Monkeys series. Apparently, she also had a big role in later seasons of Schitt's Creek. I love her. She's amazing. I cannot stand her in this.
Yeah. Well, so. Another thing about what you're talking about, that that second type of conflict you were talking about, is in movies like this or shows like this, because we watched a few episodes too, it's not realistic, right? It's like you have this
incredible... Well, I hope not. I've had people say it might be more realistic than you think. And I'm like, well, then I'm glad I live in the bubble I live in.
No, I mean, I know
it's not realistic in my life.
No. I know what they're talking about. And we've even seen in like the world when there's a disaster and people seem to be more concerned about the politics than the disaster. We've seen that, but most people,
and because I can't get people to stop talking to me about it, I'm also aware it's kind of what's going on in national politics right now.
Okay, but usually for the in a small situation like this, where there's only a few people involved and they work in this type of situation where there could be like everyone drills and, well, you even see it in the show. There's a time, okay, everyone go to the lifeboats because et cetera, et cetera. They practice and drill for these things. And so normally in context, like you see in the show, if something like this is happening, whatever people's personal issues are, they all realize we rely on everybody to survive this. We're out here on a rig in the middle of nowhere that's just ocean everywhere. Most of the time people drop that to figure out the thing. They don't, their egos don't get bigger and they start doing things that endanger everybody's lives. That's just not how it usually goes. And so it's strange.
Genuinely characters that I'm like, I want to see them die.
Well, that's exactly right. So then in fact, if they were what I would consider more realistic about it, you'd care about the characters more. You'd care about what's happening more. But they think that, well, what a person wants to see is human drama, and they don't care about, like you said, that supernatural piece. But unfortunately, no, some people they're interested in this supernatural plot or whatever. And if they're going to care about the characters, they want to see those characters act in a way that they can relate to and maybe respect, admire, or anything else. So it's a huge mistake in storytelling as far as I'm concerned.
Except it appears to work.
I mean,
because shows that have this season are very popular.
Yeah.
And that's why I said like 70% of all dramatic plot lines. That wouldn't happen if it wasn't, people weren't watching it. And because it's very easy to get hooked in when the tensions are high and everybody's arguing, for a lot of people, I think it can be very easy to like pick a side, especially because it's safe to pick a side because it's a TV show.
Yeah.
It's essentially the same enjoyment people get out of reality television in a way.
Mm.
It's the drama. It's drama in quotes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a specific type of actual drama.
And right.
It's just the type that I hate that seems to be the only kind TV makes any.
But you think lots of people do like it, though. I mean, they
well, I think they have to, because all these shows are successful.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, I think it must be paying off. And I get it. Because I can get sucked in sometimes, and it doesn't feel good to me, but you can get really invested in, because people probably watch the show and feel the way I felt when I used to watch Project Runway, because I got way into that and I was like, I've decided I hate that person, I love that person, and got into the conflict because I knew it was safe. And I didn't know these people, and I certainly was never going to send them an email and be like, you sucked. Like, so it did. I wasn't hurting anybody, and I wasn't endangering myself, so it was fine. And I get that. But it does, to me and my personality, it doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. I feel like an asshole, and I feel like they're assholes, and I'm like, why am I watching assholes be assholes? And in the process, sometimes if I get too into it, I become the asshole. And meanwhile, I'm also a huge lore hound. I want to know, like, you better, before I officially said I'm done, I looked and I haven't read them yet, but I confirmed that Wikipedia has long summaries for each of the first season episodes. Cause I do want to know, although to be honest, I have enough bits now that I'm like, I kind of know what it is. Like, I couldn't tell you specifically, but I know the genre of weird supernatural shit this is going to have.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm going to be surprised, but that's what I want to know. I don't care about their lives. I don't care about their interpersonal conflicts. I want to know what this freaky shit is.
But you could care, though, if they together, if the conflict was they together in this supernatural thing and not they at each other's throats while this supernatural thing just happens to be going on.
Devil's hour. And this is what I'm saying. Based on the fact that almost no one seems to do it that way, and they all seem to do the shows the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And these shows are often successful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to a degree, it's Lost all over again. Lost was a little more heavy on throwing out, oh, spooky, but it's the same thing as asking questions, giving no answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care as, I mean, the question, I'm only here for the answers. And I'm definitely not here for the yelling. Or the not needlessly the endangering people's lives. Or the armchair quarterbacking. There's one character on the rig whose entire personality is just telling everyone everything is their fault and he'd do a better job and they suck. And like twice, he decides to do things on his own and they're both terrible and he learns nothing from.
Well, not only that, but if I know who you're talking about, one time he has to sort of break out of his quarters to do it. And then after that, he's not confined to quarters again.
Yeah. We had a whole lot of like, where's Hutton? Nobody's talking. Wait, is Hutton just working again? Like he hijacked the entire electrical system to do things he was expressly not told to do, and at one point tried to stage a mutiny. And at one point we had him locked up, but now that he's tried to stage a mutiny, yeah, you can go back. It's fine. He's still a jerk.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the rules on actual rigs are not that different from ships for the same reason that you are in a danger, that everything around you wants you to die. So you can't have rogue elements like this guy running around causing problems. But that's just what happens. And you're like,
but other people might like it. All right, we got to hurry because we're running out of time. And I got, this was not even the important part to talk about.
Sorry.
All right, real quick. We saw, because my wife, yes, for those of you new to the podcast, in my life, I constantly am screwing up the words wife, sister, and mother. And I know it's freaky and I don't like it either. And it just happens. And I've tried for years to make it stop. And it just happens. And it's awful. It's the worst thing about me. I don't know what it is. But anyway, my wife, had an old movie. One of these that like she vaguely remembered. And she's like, I want to see it again to see what it is. So we watched the 1982 film Swamp Thing.
Oh.
The old, old, old one.
Yeah.
That apparently was very well received such that it got a sequel.
I do recall that, but I don't think I saw it.
It's not great.
Oh, it isn't? It's not very
it's
good?
It's a fun time, but it's a 1982 superhero movie. Like, it's not good.
It's not like a creature. They didn't treat it like a creature feature.
No, because it's not Black Creature from the Black Lagoon. It's Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing is a Marvel superhero.
Oh, I thought that was a DC. Swamp Thing was.
Oh,
DC.
Sorry, he is. It's a DC superhero. Sorry.
Yeah, I know, but you could do it as a film almost in a creature feature way, even though I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about it differently, but they tried to do it as a superhero film.
Well, all right. Let's pretend I didn't say that because you clearly have a definition of your head of superhero film and creature feature that I don't think is remotely what I have in my head.
And probably nobody else either. So that's just,
there was a lot of creature effects. Our main character turned into Swamp Thing quite early, and it was very Frankensteinian that everybody was scared of him, but he really was kind of good and that kind of thing. Swamp Thing. It had a plot that is very much what you would expect from Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. It was just done in it. It had a very made for TV movie feel to me, even though I'm confident it was not.
Okay.
But it's fun. I like watch it. It's fun. It's just not good. But my favorite bit is pre-mutated Swamp Thing, like the Alex Holland or what, I don't remember his name.
Yeah, but something like that.
Who in this one is a very dashing, flirtatious sort of playboy type.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And flirts with Adrienne Barbeau when she shows up and all this. Ray Weiss. Yeah. The guy who killed, who eventually became RoboCop, the father of the murder victim in Twin Peaks, the anti-pope in, I believe, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, like one of the greatest B-movie actors of all time, always playing. Oh, the lawyer in the second God's Not Dead movie. Like, this man's been in everything, and it's so funny to see when he was like a hunky leading man I've never seen. I mean, he's a handsome guy. He's always been, but it's just, it was so funny to see little baby Ray Wise, because I love Ray Wise. And so that was fun.
Little baby Ray Wise.
But here's a weird one. Yeah, hold on for this one. The movie Megan came out, Mithrigan.
Mm-hmm,
the movie, what looked like a Child's Play ripoff, except maybe cooler or whatever. Didn't want to see it. Not interested in it. The premise, creepy AI thing kills everybody. Whatever. Don't care. Never watched the Child's Play movies. Don't intend to watch the Child's Play movies. Recently watched, long story short, Jordan Breeding series recap of the Child's Play movies, reaffirmed my desire to never watch any of the Child's Play movies. So not interested. But it was hugely popular.
Megan.
Like, it took off. Mithrigan took the fuck off.
Yeah, we liked
Everybody
it.
Loved it. Oh, you saw it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. So I didn't see it. Didn't want to see it. But then people talk more about it. And then I finally get some sort of analysis and shit and figure out it's a satire. And it's like a really heavy-handed satire and hilarious, way more than horrific and scary. And also remarkably interesting, because in a lot of ways has some commentary on the state of both AI and modern parenting in a high-tech world. And I was like, the hell? And apparently it's just a really fun time. So I watched it. It's a totally fun time. everybody in it is awful, but that's sort of the deal. Like, you're not, it's a Starship Troopers thing. It's a satire. Taking it seriously, I would hate it. But I went in being like, oh, I'm not supposed to. Oh, it's goofy on purpose. And it is. And it's just so stylishly monstrous. And it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And I spent years, because it's been out for a little while now, just being like, totally not my thing. No, great time. Really great time. Highly recommend if you're into that kind of shit. Meanwhile, we were like, my sister-in-law, like, she didn't want to see it, but my wife is like, show her the dance scene, which is infamous. It's all, and I showed that, and like halfway through, she's like, can we stop watching? Because it was freaking her out. So it's not for everybody, but I think that dance scene's hilarious. Yeah, and it's got great people in it who I really like. But yeah, it's a fun movie, and it's a hilarious movie. I would say it is more comedy than horror, in my opinion.
I mean, I think if you have a certain attitude toward it, it definitely is. I mean, I found it very, again, like you, I found it to be a very interesting commentary on a lot of things, and the performances were so good. The young gymnast or dancer that actually plays Megan just did the physicality in that was just amazing. Not just the dance scene, but everything.
Yeah.
Very
oh
good.
Yeah. Well, and there are some scary, like, there's a bit where she chases a kid on all fours.
All fours, yeah.
Fucked up. Yeah. But in the best way, you're like, oh my God, this is so fucked up.
Yeah.
Just like monstrous.
It's
and
pretty
it, and it's very satirically interesting. So like, it brings up a lot of points that don't apply in the movie because insane, stupid, ridiculous, and people are making terrible decisions, and you're like, are you really that obtuse or whatever? Like, it doesn't work as a real story. But that's the point. Like, it brings up interesting concepts and then goes apeshit with
them. It does pretty much.
I mean, we
do
have
that,
a little literal commercial wherein somebody's like, this will help the toughest parts of child rearing so you can get back to what's important. And it's literally her sitting down with a glass of wine and picking up her laptop.
Right.
And I'm like, our world is not so far gone that advertisers would think that's a genuine
yeah
thing. but it makes its, but that's absolutely what's happening in the movie. Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense within the movie. No, it is. And a lot of people can take movies and they're like, just don't take it seriously. But like, the movie's designed to be taken seriously. And so sometimes I can't handle it. If it's, if it's good enough quality, I can't not take it seriously. This was very carefully crafted. It's very Starship Troopers. I watched Starship Troopers the first time and hated it because I didn't get that it was a satire, because I didn't really understand satire at that age. And then later I realized that and I watched it again and I loved that movie. This one I knew going in and I loved it. It was a great time. So recommend. Oh, we did watch. Did I talk about The Damned? I think I already talked about The Damned.
I don't remember. Was it
a Norwegian folk horror thing we were interested in?
Oh, maybe you did. That sounds familiar. And
it is, again, one of those, I think it's a very good movie, but it wasn't my thing. We watched another one of those. Although I enjoyed it. I had fun times. Well, I had fun times with both of them. We watched My Old Ass.
No, I never heard of that.
It's fairly recent. And it is a movie about a girl about to go off to college soon. And she goes out camping in the woods with her friends for her birthday. And they do mushrooms.
Okay.
And she hallucinates Aubrey Plaza, who is her 21 years in the future.
Oh, okay.
And then shit gets weird, such that it turns out that really is her from the future and they can communicate sometimes. And so it becomes a future self is trying to help out younger self without giving too much away. And younger self is having difficulty doing what older self has said. And it becomes very sort of heartfelt in its way about, you know, the importance of how you live your life and whether or not you try and protect yourself from bad things and what's important to you and stuff like that. And it's largely, I would say, a comedy, maybe a drama comedy, but yeah, pretty much a comedy. I mean, it's a comedy with dramatic elements in it.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit rom-com-y in a way or whatever. It's very good. And it also has that beautiful Gen Z thing where teenagers are having conversations that are so frank and self-aware that I'm not saying me and my friends didn't have those conversations when we were younger, but the movies that were about us definitely didn't have that.
Yep.
But these are teenagers sitting around having open conversations about their sexuality and their gender identity and their feelings about sex and stuff like this. And I had those conversations with my friends, but movies never allowed that. And there's also a very comfortable fluidity to sexual orientation and dealing with that. And I just love that kind of stuff. I'm so happy that that exists for future generations. This was clearly made for somebody way younger than me. And also for the most part, somebody way more female than me. A lot of it has to do with being a young teenage girl or an old teenage girl, I guess in this case, cause she's 18. But so it's a very good movie and had some definite funny bits, and I'm not sorry I saw it and I enjoyed myself. It didn't grab me in the same way as others. I think Trish liked it a little more, but it has been sticking with me. It has a lot of good actors in it that I looked up and they've all actually done a lot of things. I just haven't seen them. But what's interesting is one of the main character's friends, I looked her up and she was played by Maddie Ziegler, and I'm fascinated to keep track of Maddie Ziegler. Maddie Ziegler started life as a 13-year-old dancer on a reality TV show, Dance Moms. She then went on to be the main dancer in like every single music video for every Sia song. Elastic Heart, Big Girls Cry, Chandelier. There's a young girl dancing in all of those. That's all her. She apparently has gone on to be an actor and has actually done quite a few things, and I didn't realize it. But as somebody who still watches those Sia music videos because I love the songs and the videos, I'm like, oh, it's little Maddie Ziegler. Oh, that's fun. But yeah, so I think that's a good movie, and if it sounds like it would appeal to you, you should watch it. But it's very... I have an obsession. I was just talking with our listener at lunch the other day. I have this obsession with coming of age stories, except They all need to be about coming of age 30s or later. I do not care and often actively dislike stories about adolescents becoming young adults.
But has that always been true or only since you yourself entered?
No, I think it's always mostly been, I mean, and there are exceptions, but as a genre, it's not something I enjoy. But meanwhile, any film about becoming an adult to sort of middle age or an older adult or settling down with family or getting old enough to retire or midlife crisis or old enough that your body doesn't, all of these stories I love and have loved since I was way little. We've talked about this before. I am too young for The Big Chill by like at least a decade, probably more. And I loved The Big Chill when I was a kid. I just love those stories. But it has to be that kind. The adolescence to adulthood, I'm like, yeah, that's just a time where you're real confused and shitty. And then if you're lucky, you come out the other side as a not terrible person. And most of us do come out that other side. But it's not a fun time to watch. And this one wasn't particularly rough, but it's that same kind of thing. I love this kind of movie if they were just older. I, in general, hate teenagers, and I especially hate teenagers in movies, which is why I almost exclusively watch ones where they all get myrtleized and gorbled by demons fangoriously.
Gorbled.
Gorbled. I steal that from the Scaredy Cats guy, but gorbled.
That's pretty funny.
But yeah, so... I've been watching a fair bit of movies lately. And
I guess so. That's good.
I don't know what my next year is. We just started season 2 of Dungeons and Drag Queens on Dimension 20. Still kicks ass. Sorry we didn't get to any emails, people. You know this happens when we've been gone for a while, and also I talk a lot. I've realized that 3 of the most significant friendships in my life maybe based on the idea that those friends will just let me talk forever and seem genuinely interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like to hear what you have to say about
that. I think it's just because I can't give speeches to other people because they get bored because my speeches are boring. But I have happened to find about 3 people. And not one of them is my wife. Trish definitely doesn't give. Trish is really good at tuning me out. But I have about, I think 3, I'm thinking of 3 people who I consider close friends, and I'm realizing that all of them are happy to just let me talk for like hours. And maybe that's the basis of our friendship. And maybe I need to be comfortable.
Well, I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah, you're weird.
I mean, I probably don't have any other friendships like that. I mean, most other people I know.
Let you speak?
Well, no.
Let you get a word in?
Oh, you don't.
Most other friends acknowledge my existence. Most other friends don't just see me as a microphone.
No, come on. I listen because I want to. I have some friends where I really have to hold up my side of the conversation. And I do have some friends where I'm the one that talks all the time because that's what they want.
And balance it. I try and be like, in my brain, I'm like, I've talked for a while. They're now saying something. I'm just going to listen. And let them go for a while.
But I like to listen. You have interesting things to say, as far as I'm concerned. But
I think that's what it comes down to. I'm just a scintillating lecturer, and more people need to get on board with that. Did you know they made a Ring movie in 2017?
I think I did know that, but I didn't see it.
Oh, I didn't see any of them.
I saw the first one.
Jordan just last night dropped another Long Story Short that was all the American Ring movies.
Oh, so I watched that. I saw the first one.
Each of them appears to sort of largely or completely ignore the the lore of the previous one, even though they are all direct sequels to each other.
That's weird.
And in fact, the second one involves all the same main characters who didn't die in the first one.
Oh.
But they made another one in 2017. I didn't even hear about that. Also, it didn't look like it was very good. Like, I don't want to see any of them, but... yeah, it's fun. All right, should we see what our side quest is for this week?
Our side quest? Oh, yes.
Did we miss one? I suddenly, the other day, I was like, oh, I got out of that. And I'm like, oh, crap, have I been doing this consistently?
I don't remember it from last time.
None of us go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and talk about it. So I don't even know how successful this is going. Y'all gonna give me some more feedback. I'm going to start bringing Tony's Pervert Corner back. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Nobody.
Even I don't want that. All right, here we go. Side quest. Bring vegetation to your home world. Get a new plant for your home.
Huh.
And the quote comes from Groot. Would you like to guess what the quote is? I'll tell you this. I'm going to give you two guesses. And oh. I think you might need both.
Really? Because I don't know anything else that he ever says except, I am Groot. I don't know.
That's not what this is. He says a different thing one time. One time.
I have no idea then.
At the climax of the first movie, just before, spoiler alert, he sacrifices himself for everyone. He says, we are Groot.
I don't even remember that.
Vin Diesel voiced Groot.
Yes.
And he took it crazy seriously. He voiced Groot in every language the film was released in. He learned
that.
How to say I am Groot in a lot of languages. He took it real seriously.
Vin
Diesel is a lunatic.
He voiced the Iron Giant as well, which
yes. Yeah.
That was back before anybody really even knew who he was. He might have done some things before that.
And he did a commercial for Street Sharks.
That I
it's
don't
become a
about
meme
that.
Where he goes, Hand Shark!
Don't know anything about
Street
that.
Street Shark. Were 90s, they were shark puppet things.
Oh.
And so, yeah, he had a Hand Shark. Maybe it wasn't a commercial. Maybe it was just something he did for fun. I don't know. It's out there. I assumed it was a commercial. But oh, all right. We are way over time, but I do have to tell one more thing because I love it. And I'm going to tell it in excruciating detail, even though a lot of you already know about this. So we watched Jurassic Park. And I say, congratulations, you've now seen the only good Jurassic Park movie you can stop. And I said, but now we have to watch something else. And I showed them the best and arguably only good scene from Red Notice.
Okay.
Red Notice is not a good film. No. It is a painfully mediocre.
Yeah.
Like if it was worse, I would enjoy it more. Like it's very cross the plate. But it has one scene that I have always loved and will always love. If it helps to refresh your memory, it's the bullfighting scene.
That doesn't refresh my memory. I don't remember that at all. I
well,
must have slept through
you,
that movie.
As I said, excruciating detail. So The Rock and Ryan Reynolds are running away from something in some tunnels together. At this point, it's they don't like each other, but they have to work together kind of vibe. And they find a ladder and they climb out of a hatch and they're in the middle of a bullfighting arena full of crowds of people.
Yeah.
And there's a bull looking at him.
Yeah.
And look pissed. And The Rock's like, shit, we got to get out of here. And Ryan Reynolds is like, no, don't move. Bull's vision is based on movement. If you don't move, it can't see you.
Like in Jurassic Park, right.
And The Rock says, you're thinking of Jurassic Park and T-Rexes. And in fact, this whole crowd is yelling, Vominos. So we should run. And Ryan Reynolds is like, no! I saw this in a nature documentary with David Attenborough. Bull's vision is based on movement. And The Rock says, no, it was Richard Attenborough And it was Jurassic Park.
Right, right.
And he's like, we got to get out of here. And Ryan Reynolds is staring. And he's like, move and you're dead. I swear to God, you have to trust me on this. And the bull starts running. He's like, yeah, just hold on. Trust me. It's going to be. And he says, let me ask you this. Was Jeff Goldblum in the documentary? And there's a beat. And Ryan Reynolds turns his face and says, you're right. Jeff Goldblum was there. You're right. It was Jurassic Park. And The Rock says, asshole, the instant before he is smacked by a bull and shot flying back. And it's the best. And now you have to imagine it with all the charisma of both Dwayne Johnson and Ryan Reynolds.
I still don't. I can't picture it. I still don't remember it. But
that... it's, you can find just literally like YouTube search. Red Notice bullfighting, but I love it so much because I don't know why, but I am constantly tickled by the fact that long-standing late great actor Richard Attenborough is brother to living legend documentarian David Attenborough. I don't know why, but I just find it so amusing. I don't know what's wrong with me, but it cracks me up. And so I love that scene so much. Especially, think about it. Was Jeff Goldblum in the documentary? He was!
Was Jeff Goldblum in the documentary?
Hey, they got there. They got there. Also, just in case anybody's curious... absolutely not how T-Rexes work. That's what I love. Also, this time through Jurassic Park, they get a lot of things wrong about dinosaurs, but it's always like specific things. It's like this thing is true, but this thing isn't. And all of them are very coincidentally things that help the movie happen. Mm-hmm. So like the T-Rex's vision is based on movement. And this is important. Because of some scenes where they use that to good effect and otherwise they would have died. T-Rex's vision is not based on movement. There's another dinosaur that has this little frill and it spits acid and eventually it kills someone in that way. This dinosaur is real, except it doesn't spit acid. Raptors. Raptors are the primary antagonists in arguably the whole fucking series. And they're very vicious and nasty and it's exactly the way they are, except actual raptors were the size of chickens. And they wouldn't be near. So everything is like, oh, but we're wrong about this part because it's movie. And I just find that interesting. I'm like, there were very, like, it wasn't just we were too lazy to research dinosaurs. It was we were very specific in the things we did wrong because it made for a cooler movie. Which I can respect. But so often in those things, it's like, no, they just couldn't even be bothered to Google dinosaurs. Yeah.
Kind of like vampires can't walk around in sunlight or they'll burn up. I mean, a cinematic invention not related to any lore of vampires before, because vampires have to have some kind of weakness, or what kind of bad, you know, what kind of monster is it going to be? How do you fight it? And basically the original Nosferatu, I think, invented that idea. And now it's a thing.
So the takeaway here is either that you think dinosaurs aren't real or that vampires are.
No, I think that sometimes movies invent weaknesses. That was a weakness they gave the T-Rex.
Yes, yes.
To give us a way to interact with this horrible monster that gave us a chance. Otherwise, how do you make conflict, is what you were saying before. How are you going to have reasonable conflict if this monster is a super villain and can just eat everybody up all the time? There's got to be weakness.
And to be fair, the original lore, if we count Bram Stoker as original for some reason, is way less conducive to a plot because it's just that they're at their weakest at dawn and dusk.
Yeah, there's
which is not a very specific window.
Right. Yeah. So, and as far as the raptors being bigger, that's just more cinematic. I mean, I don't really blame them.
You absolutely could not have a movie where the enemies were chicken-sized dinosaurs. I mean, I would watch the shit out of that.
Well, I mean, they could swarm people. That would be a dramatic look.
Well, and that does happen in the second one, I think. In the second one, they kill a kid, like, in the cold open. That's just all of these little ones, like, start nipping at the kid, and the kid runs away behind the thing, and they all follow. And the
kids yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's storytelling. You have to, it's got to be interesting. So, and dinosaur, like, well, I mean, someone could argue we can't go back and see how Tyrannosaurus rexes really work. So we can make stuff up. I mean, who's going to tell us absolutely that we're wrong? You know?
To counter this arguably compliment to the film, almost every dinosaur encountered in the movie is from the Cretaceous period.
Well, there's that problem too. But plot wise,
I
they could
guess
always.
Cretaceous Park is not as good of a name,
No.
but come on.
Yeah, they could also cover up some things like what you talked about with T-Rex by saying, well, you know, because I isn't it part of the plot where they it's not like only T-Rex DNA, like they had to add some stuff
Yes,
and do this
the
stuff.
again, don't know about how DNA works.
Yeah,
They
right.
couldn't get all the D. I'm pretty sure the amber mosquito blood thing is a total non-starter anyway.
Yeah,
Also, they recreated plants. Mosquitoes don't suck plant blood.
the ecosystem.
But yeah, they had gaps because it was real old shitty DNA, so they
Yeah.
just filled it in with frogs. Because that's close to dinosaurs. And I'm
Well, but
sitting here going, we share 98% of our DNA with chimpanzees. There is no way you're splicing in frog and they still come out looking like what we think a dinosaur looks like.
But plot-wise, that could say, well, yeah, these aren't exactly like T-Rexes, or they're not exactly like.
But that's not what they said
I
at
know
all.
they could have, though.
They had multiple moments where they watched dinosaurs and were like, oh, that's how the ancient dinosaurs did that thing. We always wondered.
Right.
Also, and I had forgotten about this one, in the first movie, they talk about how they have a failsafe where none of the dinosaurs can produce their own lysine, which is an important amino acid, and so they have to have regular doses of it or they'll die off. It was a failsafe and it's a great idea. Doesn't get used in the first movie, and as near as I can tell, literally never comes up again.
Well, because
Which
they
makes
start.
no sense because the dinosaurs are left to their own devices for a long time.
Yes,
But
correct.
I suppose life
Life
finds a
finds a
way.
way. Yep, life finds a way.
So anyway. But it's fun. Watch that movie. It's a good one. Watch a lot of these movies. And you watch The Ring if you want to. It's probably a good time for something. I mean, people are liking it, I guess. If you have a higher tolerance for that kind of shit, if you can watch shit like Succession, if you can watch most shows on AMC, you're probably fine. I mean, not. If you can watch most shows on AMC, there's probably something really wrong with you. But if you can watch most shows on AMC, The Rig will probably be fine for you. So please email us. I know it feels like we haven't been doing emails lately because it's the holidays, we've been traveling and shit, but we love your emails. Because otherwise this is what happens. Go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us your comments on things. Yeah. And next week, also buy a houseplant today. It's like a rule. And then next week, Tony's Pervert Corner.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.